The average around 62, so 29 is less than half. Thank you very much, young lady. We're in Matthew chapter 24 for Sunday school this morning. We've been slowly going through the book of Matthew. I was ahead of Brother McVeigh. Now he's gotten ahead of me. So fortunately, I got to listen to him, so I know what it's talking about here. All right. All right, now we're going to go to verse 21, and we'll pick up there. And tell you what, Brother John Morgan, good to have you here this morning. You're looking healthier. Would you stand and pray for this Sunday school?
Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, God, be through the divine work in our midst. Lord, we don't demand anything of you or command anything of you. Lord, we cast ourselves at the feet of the love of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. Father, you commanded us to humble ourselves up underneath the mighty hand of God. Lord, you'd exalt us in due time. Lord, you know every heart in the building this morning. I pray the light would shine in and show us everything we need to know today. And bring a touch of pastors who teach us Sunday school. Pray his help me. I'm trying to preach one more time these days. I pray you'd see a great revival in this wonderful church. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, verse 21, he says, for then, okay, shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And again, we think of the Holocaust, how horrible that was. Holocaust would be nothing compared to this tribulation, okay? You think of some of the great starvation under Mao Zedong, where 52 million people died. He wrote his little red book, most of them just by starvation. Okay, this tribulation, that'll seem like nothing, okay? It's going to be so terrible what comes on, okay? And verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And there's a grace that God gave where he commanded a certain amount of time, but you'll find with God that he's a merciful God. Okay, the world's under a chastening hand when that goes on, okay? And if you've ever been under the chastening hand of God, there's only a couple things you can do. You can, you just admit, I'm under the chastening hand of God. You can God get straight why it is. You can tell him how just he is, how right he is, how good it is what he's doing to you. And it's bitter at the time when it's going on, but afterward it yieldeth that peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you'll find that he gives you a lot less stripes than what you deserved, okay, than what you should have had. And, he's very merciful, but there he does it for the elect's sake, for those people who got saved during the tribulation, and they're there during the tribulation, and actually at that point, the Antichrist is coming down. He's trying to wipe out the last of the Jews, because if he can wipe out every bit of Jewish flesh on the earth, the devil wins, okay? So he tries to wipe out, that's why constantly, every age, that goes on. But for the elect's sake, he cuts it short, he stops, okay? Then, verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, it's interesting here because he uses the word Christ, anointed. And the Apostle Paul will pick up that same term and give you the exact same warning in 2 Thessalonians 2. And he say that the day of Christ is at hand, okay? This is what Jesus is saying here. Same thing. It's important to understand that. Most of the new Bibles and even the fundamental commentaries change that to day of the Lord. It's not the day of the Lord, okay? It's not the rapture. It's the day of Christ, the day when the skies split open and every eye sees that man, Jesus Christ, riding on a white horse. They all see it. That day, the Apostle Paul talks about it, that day shall not come, okay? Except there be a falling away first. Things have to happen before that day happens, okay? So, and again, that's why so many of you fellows, okay, if you're going to understand your Bible, You need to have the Apostle Paul teach you your Bible. All right? Let him teach it to you. I'm not saying only the Pauline epistles. That's the only. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's the man that God told to take you by the hand and lead you through the rest of the Bible. Okay? That's his job. And if you study hard, you'll realize that Paul very rarely ever says anything new. Most of the time, he's just digging back into that Old Testament and applying it to you, showing you how to put that into your life, showing you how to make that part of your life. That's so much of his ministry. And the more I study, the more I say, oh my goodness, how have I read the Bible for 40 years and not understood that this is what he's doing here? He's just showing me something that went on there, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul's going to pick up on this very thing here, where people say, here is Christ, there is Christ. Okay? Watch what Jesus says here. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And you know what? People with salvation can get deceived. Right? They can get following the wrong thing, all right? I remember one time, I'll never forget, it was an Easter morning, I was a kid, and the cows across the street, a cow had a calf on Easter morning. And I remember watching that, you know, it's a wondrous thing. But the thing is, the stupid pony walked over and got in between the calf and the cow. And then the calf's trying to follow the pony. And the cow's bellowing, all right? You know, and it's just one of those things. And you know, the neighbor comes running over with a broom and pushes that pony out of there, you know, whatever. And the cow and the calf got back together. You know, well, that's what happens with Christians sometimes. You know, some will get in between them and their God or whatever. And they're all confused on what they're supposed to be doing and that kind of thing. So he said even the elect can get confused by these false Christs, those kind of things that are going on. But what's important is to understand is they come with lying signs and wonders. And again, that's what Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2. Just because a man can do a miracle doesn't mean he's of God. Okay, that doesn't mean that whatsoever. If right now I told you all, look, I'm going to show you that I'm the Christ, and I whirled you all up and took you to the center of the sun in a cool chamber, and I reached into the walls of that chamber and brought up gold and gave every one of you that, and then brought you back here. That's no proof of nothing, okay? If it's contrary to what the Word of God says, okay? And yet people get fooled by that stuff all the time, okay? I've told you that before. Back in the 80s, in Columbia, South Carolina, the big place, if a dog and pony show was going to come into Columbia, South Carolina, and they rent the Coliseum because 10,000 people could fit in the Coliseum. And we had a young man that I was studying with, a kid by the name of Amos Presley, and he'd been fooled one time by Bob Jones University, and he didn't ever want to get fooled again, right? And they'd taken him off the Word of God and got him mixed up on all the Greek and the Hebrew and all that nonsense and stuff. So what he used to do, when any one of the big names from television would come and do, you know, a ministry in Columbia, South Carolina, he would go there. And he'd wait till it was all said and done. There's just a few people talking, and he would ask that fella. He says, you know, if I right now could get into the third heaven with God the Father, and if I could see Jesus Christ sitting on that throne next to him, would he be in a body of flesh? Now the Antichrist would say, no, Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. To a man, every one of them said, no, he would. He'd just be a spirit. He wouldn't be in a body of flesh. To a man. All those big names on television, all those guys with those big ministries and the faith healing and all that kind of thing, okay? Antichrist. Right. And yet tons of people were following him. Mm-hmm. I was there when Jim Baker and Tammy Faye were big stuff there. And, you know, I remember when they went to federal court, they chipped away her makeup and found Jimmy Hoffa. Right? And, you know, but the point is signs and miracles aren't what you're looking for. You're not looking for the wind to blow. You're not looking for earthquakes. You're not looking for that. You're looking for the still small voice that agrees with the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what you're looking for, okay? Then he says, verse 25, behold, I have told you before, where if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. I know a man who was relieved out of Mormonism off of that verse right there, because the Mormons taught that Jesus Christ came to a secret chamber in Missouri and told him, go to Utah, all right? And that was the verse that delivered him out of Mormonism. Realized, no, that wasn't Jesus. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now there's many comings of the Son of Man. He'll show privately himself to Israel at Petra, and that's described in the book of Zechariah. He'll come in the air and he'll take the church out. Church won't be here for that, okay? All right? These are the things that go on. But for this, that day of Christ, that's when it's impossible not to see him. It's impossible. There's no one who could miss him coming in that day, okay? Now, in fact, go with me to 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's just look at Paul deal with that very same subject. Because, again, his job was to take the things Jesus Christ said, Moses said, Isaiah said, and everything else, and teach it to these Gentile churches. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. What is it? That's the rapture. Okay? And he's saying, listen, this is coming. I want to beseech you by that. You know that's going to happen. Okay? That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now the rapture is at hand. There's no guarantee that we'll have an 11 o'clock service. Brother John Morgan may have preached for the last time he's ever going to preach, okay? And the rapture could happen. That is at hand.
Yes.
The day of Christ is not at hand.
That's right.
Okay? Jesus Christ is not going to split the heavens, right? And he warned people, everybody's going to say it's happening. And so the apostle Paul, what's he do? He warns everybody. Everybody's saying that's going to happen. He says it's not going to happen, okay? That's not going to happen. Then he says, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is where the mid-tribulation rapture people get all mixed up on this. They think the church can't go out till the son of perdition reveals himself. And yet that's not what it says. Okay? That's not what it says at all. Now, he describes the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's going to happen one day. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24. When you see that abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel sitting in the holy place, that's where the man, son of perdition, the Antichrist, will go. He'll sit right on that mercy seat and tell people, I'm God. That's what opens the Jews' eyes. That's where he gets assassinated. They realize, oh my goodness, that man isn't what he says he is. Then he says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Just like Jesus who said, hey, I told you this once before. I'm telling you again. It's important that people understand, first of all, that at any moment, Jesus Christ can come back. Okay? If you have something on your prophetic calendar that you think needs to happen before the rapture, you've got yourself mixed up.
That's right.
Okay? There's nothing on the prophetic calendar that needs to happen for that rapture to happen. Okay? Nothing. Okay? But there's a lot that needs to happen before the day of Christ happens.
Yes.
That day when the heavens split and everybody sees Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and now, here's the new revelation they're getting. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Before they didn't know, what's stopping him from being revealed in his time? What's stopping him? Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Now I'm showing you why that Antichrist has not been revealed. Why isn't the Antichrist? The Antichrist would love to be here right now. Okay, he's got all sorts of people trying to speak for him. Now you know what withholdeth. And then he says this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And yes, it does. It's all over the place. Okay. The mystery of godliness was God manifest in the flesh. The mystery of iniquity will be the devil manifest in the flesh. Okay. Mystery of iniquity only already worked. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, who lets? Go with me to 2 Timothy. There's something that stops the Antichrist from being here. There's something that stops him. It's withholding him from being revealed in his time. He can't, he'd love to be here, but he cannot. There's something stopping that. Okay? The Apostle Paul says this: nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth here. What's the foundation of God? For no other foundation can any man lay other that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What member of the Trinity does the sealing? The Holy Ghost does the sealing. Okay? Having this seal. Now, the rest of this, if you look at the comma, then a capital T. This is going to be a description of the seal. When you get saved, the Lord seals you with this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That day when you were in the bathroom, vomited out your old life, you were sealed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And now for the first time, he will let them depart from iniquity. He doesn't make her do it. He will let her. I remember when he began to let me depart from my iniquity. I remember that when the power was there for the first time. I had never been able to get out of that before. And suddenly he's letting me depart from iniquity.
Amen.
What he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. He came in Pentecost, and everybody, and when he leaves, every vessel he is in will go with him. Will the Holy Ghost be on the earth during the tribulation? Yes. But now on a singular one-on-one basis, like John chapter 20, when Jesus breathed the Holy Ghost into him. And then yet tells him, tarry for the gift of the Father. I thought you already gave me the Holy Ghost. Two different ways he can be given. Okay? In Ezekiel chapter 10, Ezekiel sees an amazing thing. He sees the cherubim come. And the cherubim go, and they go over to the temple of God. And he sees the glory of God leave the temple and go up with the cherubim. How long has the glory of God been? Since Solomon. When Solomon built it, the glory of God so filled that temple that the priest couldn't go in. What is that? It's a picture of the book of Acts. No more law, no more priests. Okay, the glory of God even filled the people. Okay, filled them. And just like in Ezekiel 10, when the cherubim come and they take away that glory of God, the day is going to come when he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And every single vessel he's in will go with him. There won't be anybody who he's in that won't go with him. They'll all go. Okay, that's why Jeremiah 3:16 tells Israel, when you build that new temple, you're not going to have an ark. Why? Because the ark's in heaven. That's why we go to Revelation 11. They look and the ark of God's in heaven. Okay? They don't have an ark in the temple that Ezra builds and Nehemiah builds. They don't have one there. Okay? There's not an ark there. Why? Because that's where the glory of God was, in that vessel. But when the glory of God went, the vessel went also. Okay? It's up there. Go read Jeremiah 3:16. He basically tells them you don't need an ark. You don't need to have it there. Okay? Why? Because it's up in heaven now. So the thing is, people are going to come to you and say, well, the day of Christ is at hand. Paul said it's not. Jesus said it's not. Mm-hmm. What day is at hand? That day when that seal that God put on you, he takes away. Okay? He takes it up. When that seal is gone, every vessel that seal is in, the seal will go with him. Okay? There's not a single one that will be left behind. Then shall that wicked come. That's when suddenly, now there's nothing withholding him anymore. He's always wanted to be here, now he's here. Okay? And you know what happens to everybody who's ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel? Says they're damned. they're damned. God will see to it. God will personally do it.
Yeah.
He told Ezekiel, he said, if the prophet speak a lie, I, the Lord, gave it to him. I deceived that prophet. Okay? Why? Because he didn't want the truth. So I gave him a lie. Okay? You see that in 1 Kings. Who will go down and deceive Ahab? Mm-hmm. The Spirit says, I'll do it. Okay, I'll go. So, deceive him. Okay? And that's why it talks about after that happens. All those people sitting there who've never responded, never received the grace of God, never, as our good brother said over there, never reacted to the light that God gave them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? They're damned.
Mm. I know.
They're damned. Then God in his mercy will begin to get the Jews, and he'll send the apostles, and he'll have the angels actually preaching at that time. The prophets will be resurrected back again. They'll preach at that time. And God will tire him out of other people with what the Antichrist is doing. So let's go to back to Matthew 24. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So after that happens, the heavens melt, everything else. Okay? Some of you have looked at Acts chapter 2 because Peter is trying to put them there then. Why? Because God's really offering it to Israel right then. He's offering to Israel at that point. If the elders of Israel would receive that sin offering, if the elders would go take the responsibility for what they did, God would have revived that whole nation in one day. And Peter's offering that, and that's offered up until Acts chapter 7. And when they finally stone Stephen, in the book of Samuel, they've not rejected thee. They rejected me. They rejected God the Father. At the cross, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. They've rejected God the Son. Acts chapter 7, Stephen full of the Holy Ghost, their hearts are pricked and they stone him to death. They've rejected the Holy Ghost. And you know what? In baseball, 3 strikes, you're out. The very next chapter, God goes and he gets him an Ethiopian eunuch, a black man, a Gentile. The church cries out, I'm black. Black is the tense of Kedar. And God goes, gets that Ethiopian eunuch. The very next chapter, he gets the apostle to the Gentiles. And never again in the book of Acts, you see God dealing with Israel as a national unit. Now, he'll deal with them as individual Jews, but not as a national unit. What do you mean by that? Okay. Well, let's say that someone was mad at the Black Creek Baptist Church. And there are people still mad at the Black Creek Baptist Church. Okay? Where Lucille Lawton told me they're still mad at things that went on in the 1950s. And it's what happens when you have a church been around a long time. There's still people mad at it for one thing or another, okay? But they meet you. They meet Stephen and think, I like Stephen, okay? So I don't like the Black Creek Baptist Church. I'm not going to come to it. I'm not going to deal with it. But I like Stephen, okay? But he's a member of the Black Creek Baptist Church. Yeah, but we're going to deal with him as an individual. Okay? God forsook Israel after Acts chapter 7 for a time. Not forever. For a time. And yet the individual Jew, he still deals with them. He'll still save. He'll still redeem them. He'll still give them eternal life. Okay? He'll still do that. And then in the book of Zechariah, you see him appear privately to them. Show them the wounds in his hands and his feet and shows them and tells them, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friends, and restores Israel unto himself. Okay? And there, that'll be a great day. All right. Now, he says this, verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with glory and with power and great glory. So there's still people alive after this period of time. And we'll get into that when we get into Matthew chapter 25. But there's a prophecy made in Deuteronomy 32 verse 8 where Moses says, God divided the children of Adam according to the number of the children of Israel. Well, how many tribes were there in Israel? 12. That's where they get it. You hear people talk about there'll be 12 saved Gentile nations. Okay, that's where you get that from. Matthew 25, he judges the nations. How they treated the Jew. How did you treat my brethren? Some of those nations are brought in. They're going to be allowed to go in to the millennium as a national unit. Okay? And they're going to be brought in there. Others, damn, that nation will have no more standing before God whatsoever. Okay? Because of how they treated the Jew. So, but there you see that even after this tribulation, the tribes of the earth, all those people who never took the mark of the beast, they're still there. You know what the problem the Antichrist will have? The same problem everybody has. How do you reach everybody in the Amazon River Basin? How do you get every Inuit in Siberia and Alaska to take this? How do you get every Aborigine in the jungles to take it? And you want to know something? The Antichrist has the same stinking problem the church does. Get people to go and get the work done, all right? And that's why there's people when the tribulation is over who never took the mark of the beast, okay? Some do it by faith and some just never took the mark of the beast. Then he says this. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is the final rapture. There's seven raptures of people all together. First one, Enoch. He's taken up into heaven. Next one's Elijah, takes him up into heaven, okay? You all together, you'll count seven. This is the seventh one there. At the very end of the tribulation, there's one in the middle of the tribulation, there's one before the tribulation, okay? And this is the final one where he gathers them all together. And by the way, this is what he calls at the end of the earth. At the end of the world, okay? There's another place he talks about at the end of the world. Well, when did the world begin to end? Okay? It says in the book of Hebrews, when Jesus died, in the end of the world, he come to, you know, by the death of himself. But in the end and at the end are two different times. We're in the end of the world right now. You and your wife are married in the end of the world. Okay? The end of the world, the church started at the end of the world. Jesus died in the end of the world, okay? But at the end of the world, a long period of time that God calls in the end, we're living in that time. And at the end of the world, then the angels come and they separate the wheat from the tares. They gather together as elect. They gather all that together. And he says this, verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. It's fascinating here because Corey Jackson, who a lot of you met at Youth Week. And Corey, I've actually published him a couple things that he's written so far. He's written some pretty nice things. But he's in that church in Powderly, Texas, and got saved after Dale Morey went and preached there. Kevin Sheridan, Tim McVeigh. He listened to Tim McVeigh preach, began to listen to us. Here he is, a youth leader in the church, raised in church all his life, got saved and born again. And he does a lot of study in the Word of God, contacts me a lot, and he said it's interesting because at one point this parable calls the fig tree a him, another place it calls it a her. And he said there's actually male and female fig trees. There's actually a difference. And the male fig tree, you don't want the figs from that. It's the female fig tree. And but as you go look it up on Google or whatever, you'll see there's a difference. He went into it. You know, what goes on with the fig tree. But it fascinated him because he noticed that in one place it talks about his fruit, another place hers. And sure enough, there's two different types of fig trees, male and female. You can't grow figs without having both kinds. It's kind of like growing pigs or something. You got to have both kinds. All right. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And, you know, let me tell you something. There's always people, oh, I see this, I see that. It's got to come. I remember Bill Randall telling us this. He said that when he and his wife first began to have babies, and we're dealing in the 1960s, he said, we don't have to worry about them. There's no way in the world they'll ever grow up. All right? The Lord will be back before that. All right? The Lord will be back before that. And every decade, people come up with all different signs that are going on. This is it. You know, I've told you before how when the barcode came out, everybody said, that's the mark of the beast. All right? You know, in the common market in the 1960s, that's the Roman Empire. Now the common market's dead. There isn't even a common market anymore, right? But all those things in prophetic conferences, and if you go to a prophetic conference, they'll take all the things happening in the newspapers, all these things, oh, that's him coming back. This is the only sign you need of Jesus Christ coming back. All right? You need to learn what the Word of God says, understand it, obey what it says, and again, I love what Brother Morgan said yesterday, obey such light as God gives you.
Amen. Okay?
You obey that light that God gives you. Don't worry about this guy over here, he saw that. Don't worry about that.
Right, amen, amen.
Worry about the light that God has shown you, okay?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Then he says this, verse 33 again. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I send you, this generation, what generation? The one that sees all those signs, okay? This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And then verse 35, we'll end with this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Then where are they? Where are they? Okay. All right? Randy's point, yeah. You know, the thing is, I remember when I first learned about the Bible, I was taught that only the original manuscripts were the ones inspired. After that, they all got mixed up. Jesus said that wouldn't happen.
Right.
Jesus said his words would never pass away. Somewhere on this earth are the words of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's a promise, okay? Yeah. They're a promise. In these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. What makes us Bible-believing Baptists is we believe that the words of this King James Bible are the words of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
This is the Holy Ghost's interpretation of the Greek and the Hebrew for the English-speaking people. Okay? And if it says it in this book, it is absolutely 100% true.
That's right.
All right? If it doesn't say it in this book, take it with a grain of salt. All right? Father, thank you for what we've learned this morning, and I thank you again for what you've done for us these last few days, and we look forward to what you'll do for us in our next services. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.